I want you to take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 37. And while you're turning there, I'll just set the message up for you tonight. And I'm going to show you just my little neat thing. I find these little nuggets in the Bible, and I like it. The King James Bible is just full of wisdom, and it's full of beauty. And everything that God has in this book has an order to it. And so what I'm going to show you now is not the message, but I'm just going to show you a little nice little nugget out of the Bible. And then for the most part, we're going to be in the book of Psalms. Ezekiel chapter 37 is the chapter on the dry bones. You know that old song, you know, Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, a foot bone connected to the ankle bone and so on. Well, that's based upon Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to show you something in your Bible. In verse 3, he said unto me, this is God talking to Ezekiel, and he says, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Now, I want you to look at this. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And I just want to stop here for a minute and let you know that according to God and His Word, there is absolutely nothing that is too dead for God not to bring back to life. You can take this now, what I'm going to show you tonight, you can take this and you can apply it to every situation in life that you think is dead, you think it's too gone, you think there's no way in the world that God can bring dead things back to life. I'm telling you, that these bones have been laying in that desert, in that wilderness for years. The Bible says they were very, very dry. Which means the marrow inside of them had just dried up and they were just brittle as probably dust. And they could just be broken and blown away with the wind. And yet God said, Son of man, say to these bones, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to put flesh on you and I'm going to cover you back with skin. I'm going to put breath in you and you're going to live. So he said in verse 7, he said, so I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. And then look at what he said, come from the four winds. And every time I see the number four, I think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That this is Israel, then Israel is going to be saved the same way you and I were saved by what Christ did on the cross mentioned in those four books. Somebody say amen. You got saved because of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he said, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy the Son of Man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, I'm going to show you something neat tonight. What God told Ezekiel both times to say, Ezekiel said it exactly the way God told him to say it. And when just think of Ezekiel being the preacher. He's the preacher in a church. The preacher's responsibility is that we're to take this book and say exactly what God says. Not supposed to change it. Not supposed to say, well, God, I hear you, but actually a better way of saying that would be this. I don't do that. I quit doing that. God chastised me over that. If I'm going to speak, I'm going to speak from the book. I'm going to show you what the book says. In fact, that's what we're going to do tonight. I put together, Roy came and talked to me today, and he just had some issues that he was dealing with. And I said, Roy, I'm going to pray that God will give me a message that'll show forth what God is doing in your life, because I guarantee you there's somebody else in the same pit that he's been in the last few days. Guarantee you there is. Either sitting here or sitting at home listening to me, or maybe they'll listen to this in their car, or maybe they'll just pull this up on the internet one day. I guarantee you, they're going to be in the same pit that he's been in, and the only way to come out of that is by the power of God's Word. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you how much power there is in this. What I did was, I took both things that God said. God said it in two different places. He said, verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, and I start right here. Behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews. So I took that. And then the next thing that he said, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy unto the son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. And from that point, I took those words, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now look up on the screen. The first set of words that God spoke, there was exactly 50 words in it. The second set of words that he said, there was exactly 16 words in it. Do the math. 66 words exactly.
Amen.
Amen. There's 66 books in your Bible. Listen, when a man of God will preach this book, and as it comes out of his mouth, there's power in this word. There's not much power in what I say, and there shouldn't be. What I say should be weak, and it should not cause anybody to do anything. What God says should make a change in your life, and what God says to you will actually give life back into things that you thought were dead. Amen. That's the power of God's Word. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, I'm going to say something one of these days, and everybody in this church is going to get up and dance on the pews. I promise you, I'm going to strive for it one of these days. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Amen? Now turn to Exodus chapter 19. This is the message tonight. Exodus chapter 19. And we're going to be in Ezekiel, then we're going to be in the Psalms. And you're going to like what I'm going to show you tonight. Roy came to me today, and he said that I could talk about him, and I like to talk about Roy. I like to tease him a little bit, and he teases back, and we just have a good time. Roy's been a blessing to this church. I've seen God do some things in him and through him. And it's just, he's like everybody else here. He has his highs and he has his lows. And right now, he's been in his low. And he doesn't mind. He came to me and said, you can tell this. Because he came and said, he's been so low the last few days, and it's his health is what it is. And he said, I was just as close, I think, as I've ever come to getting in the car and going to Walgreens, buying me a bottle. And if you're an alcoholic, you know that feeling. You know the urge. It doesn't come every day, but it comes. And he's they have that urge. I saw that in my brother-in-law. He would have, Sterling used to call it a dry drunk. He would just be in just a very sullen state. And you could just tell in him that it just wouldn't take too much for him to just go out and just tie one on and get it over with. Okay? And he doesn't mind me saying and using him for an example, because there's probably somebody else out there, or maybe here or wherever, that has been in that or will be in that or is in that right now. And the thing is, and I told him this, and he agreed with me, there was something that was keeping. He didn't do it. He hasn't gone to get the bottle. There's something that is holding him back and carrying him in areas of life that he cannot carry himself. Let's quit trying to act tough to everybody and act like we're supermen and we can do everything and nothing bothers us. We're not bulletproof. We're not attack proof. It will happen. It'll happen to you. It happens to me. Brother Dave Bradley, I know him. I know what gets him. I've counseled with him many times. And he has the devil likes to throw the punches at him. Okay? And he doesn't deal well with it. When the devil goes after me that way, I don't deal well with it. And so the only thing that keeps us is God's power and God standing in the way. Remember when God put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? What did he do after that? He put a cherub there with a flaming sword. That basically was to keep the way of the tree of life. And I guarantee you, nobody got past that one. Amen? We need a whole string of those down along Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California. Amen? And all the way up the East Coast. Just keep them from coming in. Amen? We need protection of our nation. We need protection of our homes and protection of our family. And I guarantee you, when God protects something, it's protected. Okay? So what I'm going to preach to you tonight is not how you can overcome. I'm going to preach to you how God's going to get you there. Exodus 19, verse 3. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." How did Israel get to Mount Sinai? God carried them there. God brought them to Himself. How did Eve get to Adam? God brought her there. How does a bride, in every wedding I've done, how does a bride get to the groom in the wedding ceremony? The father brings her to the groom, to the bridegroom. The father brings her there. That itself is a picture of how God brought Eve to Adam and how you and I are going to make it to Jesus. We're not going to make it on our own feet. God's going to bring us there. How many of you ever tried to fly? Yeah, I've seen you, Scooter. Okay? You do go up pretty good, but you always come back down. Sometimes in a way that you wish you hadn't. Amen? I used to be just like him. But God said, "I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth, all the earth is mine." Think about that. God owns the whole planet. Amen? "All the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And notice that again. God's telling Moses, "Moses, if you say these words, then you'll be doing right. These are the words that I want you to speak unto the children of Israel." I'm telling you, the preacher's job, the pastor's job, the man of God's job is to say what God said. Not his own nonsense. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. What does he mean by bearing you up on eagle's wings? Well, take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm going to show you something. Man, I like this. This is good. You're going to like this. This might be the dance right here. Okay? This might be it. Maybe it won't be. Maybe God will bring it about. But maybe this will just make you a little bit happy in the Lord tonight. Ezekiel chapter 1. How did God bear Israel on eagle's wings? If you have ever studied Ezekiel 1, you know what it's about. You know what's there. You'll find out that God has a four-wheel drive chariot. Okay? With Bigfoot mud gripper tires on it. So it doesn't ever slip. God rides a chariot. In Ezekiel 1, these four cherubs, they all have wheels. They have wheels within wheels. And then above them is a platform, a firmament, like clear as glass. And then on top of that is God's throne. Picture four Levite priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. That's what you've got, minus the wheels. Okay? Levites didn't have wheels. These cherubs have wheels. But I want you to notice how they're described. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10, "As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on the right side they four had the face of an ox, on the left side they four also had the face of an eagle." Now again, here's this number 4. What are we supposed to think when we see this number 4? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is it that God uses to carry us to glory? The gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again on the third day, ascended on high. He intercedes for us, and that is what carries us. Amen! That's the car we're riding in, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to carry us up into glory. Amen. Woo! Amen. Get ready to dance, all right? So watch this now. Verse 11. "Thus were their faces." Now notice there's an eagle here. There's an eagle here. Thus with their faces and their wings. Eagles have wings. And were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their body. How many wings did they have? They had two joined together and two covered their bodies. They had four wings. Think about it. Four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Watch this now. Get ready for this. And they went everyone straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and the like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Boy, that's fast. Amen. Listen, God can get you before you can fall. Amen. He's fast. Amen. Now watch this. Get ready for this one. I want you to look up on the screen. There was a man who was a photographer, and he noticed one day he was photographing butterflies. Anybody want to take a guess how many wings butterflies have? They have four. They have four wings. And he noticed that on the wings of these butterflies, he saw what looked like letters and numbers. And he spent several years photographing just about every kind of butterfly in the world. And what he did was he found out that every letter and number in the alphabet can be found on the backs of these four-winged butterflies. Amen. That what you see up there is the pictures that he took. Butterfly wings. Now watch this. The gospel. Remember how many wings they have? Four wings. These cherubs have four wings. Does anybody know the sound that they make? The four-winged angels, the cherubs in Ezekiel chapter 1, when their wings moved, you know, when a bird flies or when a cricket or a grasshopper flies off, you hear their wings. It makes a sound. Guess what sound these cherubs make? Watch, look at your Bible. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. And they went, and I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. When their wings moved, it sounded like God's voice talking to you. Woo! Amen! What is it that carried the Israelites to God? He bare them on eagle's wings. It was His speech. His Word that brought them to Him. That's the same thing that brought you to God. Amen. Was His Word. It wasn't some doctor of philosophy telling you how you could be better and you could be rich and you could be healthy if you just follow God. It wasn't that nonsense. You heard the preaching of God's Word and God brought you to Him. Just like angel wings. Amen. Flapping the voice of speech. Whew. By the way, the word speech is mentioned 49 times in your Bible, 7 times 7. Yeah, amen. These butterflies even tell you where to eat. See, I thought that was funny. Now turn to Psalms. I'm just going to move through the Psalms. I'm going to read these very quickly. God usually gives me a word. And when I go to the Bible, I look at that word and I get wisdom out of it. Roy's been down in a pit. Amen. Sometimes the pit is the one we dug for ourselves. Sometimes the pit is what our enemy dug for us to trap us in. Either way, doesn't matter what pit you're in, whether you dug it yourself or somebody that hates you dug it for you. It, when you're in the pit, it really doesn't matter, does it? All you know is that you can't get out of it on your own. That's all you know. What you need is for God to take eagle's wings and pull you out of that pit with His Word. Psalm 28, verse 1. Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my Rock. Be not silent to me. See what He said here? When you're down in the pit, you think God's not going to talk to you. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy... See, you're in a pit. The only way to reach is up. When I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. You know what that is? The oracle in the tabernacle was the most holy place, and that's where the book was. That's why it was called the oracle. Oral means came out of their mouth. The oracle is the Word of God. When you are in that pit, you lift your hands up to the Word of God, and the Word of God is what lifts you out of that pit. Those angels' wings, when they flap, they have the voice of God Almighty in them, and it sounds like He's talking to you. Boy, wouldn't that be something to hear? Whew. I'd pass out if I ever heard that. I don't see how Ezekiel stood it. Amen? Whew. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. What he wanted to do was go to the smokehouse up here. That's where the workers of iniquity are. Amen? Or the VFW hall up here, where they put a sign out here, put one of them electronic signs, and they actually are advertising now who's tending bar at what time. So if you like a certain bartender, you think she's pretty, and they're both females from what I saw, then from 5 to close, then you can go see what's her name up here, and she'll tend bar and look pretty to you and talk sweet to you. That's what a whore does. Amen. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. If without the Lord, you don't have strength and you don't have a shield. My heart trusted in Him, not in my own righteousness, not in my own strength, not in my own ability to climb out of the mess that I made. God is the one and the only one. He's the one I trust. And I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly... I will tell you, the conversation I had with the man yesterday, and guys, you'd have loved to meet him. He was all soldier. I mean, he was all soldier. And he began to talk to me, and he said, there ain't a man that I'm afraid of. He said, I'll take bullets. He said, I've been blown up. And he said, I'll run through bullets, and I'll run through any man to save my own soldier men, to save guys of my own. He said, I ain't afraid of a man. There ain't a man that I'm afraid of. And he talked for a while, and I said, there is a man you're afraid of. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, I'm afraid of me. I said, that's exactly right. Amen. Well, that's something, isn't it? Amen. You ain't afraid of another man except the one you got to deal with every day. Right. You don't trust yourself. The one you see in the mirror, Roy. You don't trust yourself. I don't trust myself. Don't you trust me? I don't trust me. Amen? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Boy, somebody say amen. That's good. Psalm 30. Turn there. Just a couple chapters over. Shouldn't take you very long. Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Look at what it says. Thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, and let me tell you who your foes are. There is a sin or a group of sins that the devils know that they can come at you every day and get you with it. They know it. Those are your enemies. Okay? O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, and I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Somebody say amen. Boy, this Bible's right, isn't it? It is right. So look at verse 8. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. See, I'm just wanting y'all to dance. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't that be something? See, Brother Sterling, Brother George, Jimmy Carmichael, Roy, up in the aisles dancing. David danced before the Lord. Amen? No, that was not some kind of sleazy little disco dance. That was his shouting and jumping before the Lord. Amen. Thou hast turned me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let me tell you why God will pull you out of the pit. Because he knows that when he does, you'll praise him. What does God hear constantly in heaven? Non-stop praise. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. There are some angels up there that don't... It's kind of like a whippoorwill. Whippoorwills, I don't know when they breathe, but they never shut up. Once they get going, whippoorwill, whippoorwill, whippoorwill. Listen, you people don't have whippoorwills in your country, you're missing out. Those are pictures of angels who are constantly giving their glory and praise to God, and they cease not day and night saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they just keep saying it over and over and over again. God will pull you out of the pit because when He gets you out there, you'll praise Him for it. You don't mind coming to church, pulling a hymn book out and singing with everybody else. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not, just sing. Old Eddie back there, you remember Eddie from the group home? He used to sing louder than anybody in this whole church, and he never hit a note that we had. But he would sing, and his voice would just come out. Listen, that guy, even though he was handicapped, he knew who Jesus was. Amen. He knew who Jesus was. I was at his funeral and preached his funeral, and he had on him his I Love Jesus t-shirt on.
Amen.
It takes somebody like that to remind us that we don't have very much to complain about. Psalm 40. Look at this. I waited patiently for the Lord. Now I want you to think about that. Because God brought you to Him on eagle's wings. Think about it. I waited patiently for the Lord. What happens when you wait on the Lord? And He inclined unto me and heard my... He inclined unto me. You know what that means? He heard you and He went. He leaned down in your direction to pull you up. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up. I've told this before, I'll never forget. Right after Lindsay was born, Lisa and I were sitting. We were sitting right about over here, and the preacher was preaching, and all of a sudden she said, I hear Lindsay. Lindsay was downstairs in the nursery. And I said, no, you don't. You're just being nervous. No, I hear her crying. And you know what she did? She got up and went down to the nursery to find out what was going on. Dad's going, did you cut it out? You didn't hear nothing. Mama heard it. Amen. God will hear it when nobody else... Listen to me. God will hear it when nobody else does. When nobody else knows what's going on with you, God heard it. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. See, it's all about getting you out so you can praise. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Again, I have said this over and over. Let's not be a fake and a phony church and act like we never have anything bad happen to us. Let's let God save us out of all the bad stuff, and our neighbors will see it.
Amen.
And they'll say, I would like that. Not that phony church that we went to, but I'd like that church where everybody's normal. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's the number of thoughts that God has for you individually every single day. The thoughts that God has towards you, the Bible says, cannot even be numbered. Now that is unknown to us. That's beyond our thinking, how God can think so many thoughts about us. And there are people who write me in emails and say, "Do you remember when I told you this and you said you would pray about it?" And I'm going, "Maybe." Okay? I have a hard time keeping up with everybody that writes in and that everybody tells me they want me to pray for them. And I try to pray for everybody that asks. And I try to get to everybody. I can't do it. I cannot understand how God can hear the thoughts of 7 billion people on this planet right now and have thoughts toward them that are endless and numberless. I cannot fathom that. Amen. God can do it. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. I waited patiently for the Lord. Remember what God said He did with Israel? How did He bring them? On eagle's wings. What happens when we wait on the Lord? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Look at there. Eagles. You know how often an eagle will flap its wings? Very seldom. All the eagle has to do is just let the wind do the work. You know what the wind is? It's the Spirit. Let the Spirit do the work. Let the Word of God lift you up. Because that's what eagles do. Eagles just know that by birth. They just know. They stick them wings out like that. They can stay up there for hours. Never waste any energy whatsoever. Well, God's good, isn't it? By the way, I did a little search on wait on the Lord and wait upon the Lord 7 times in your Bible. Wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, and then wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. 7 times in your Bible it says, wait on the Lord, wait upon the Lord. So what are you going to do when you're down in that pit and you call for help? What choice do you have? I remember the story of, remember that earthquake in San Francisco during the World Series? And they had one of those double-decker highway systems running through town, and they collapsed. There was an old man that was trapped down in the front floorboard of his car. And they rescued him, but it took them days to get there. He was trapped. His car was crushed. When they finally got to him, it was a miracle that the man was even alive. And I want to ask you a question. This is real simple. What choice did he have but to wait? He couldn't save himself. He couldn't bust through his car and break through steel and iron and concrete. He had to wait. Now, God will make you wait sometimes. He'll make you wait on Him. But I promise you, you wait on Him, I promise you it'll be worth it. I'm almost done. Psalm 69:12. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Roy, all the buddies that you had when you were drinking, how many of them showed up at the hospital when you were about dead? Not one of them. Not one of them. Your drunkard friends won't come and help you. Amen. Your whoremonger friends won't be around. Your dope-smoking friends, they won't come and help you. But as for me, my prayer is unto Thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy, hear me, and in the truth of Thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut, notice this, her mouth upon me. Did you know the earth is always characterized as a woman? Always. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Look there at Proverbs 22:23. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. Proverbs 23, for the whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. She's the one who entices these young men to drink. She's a drunkard. She's got a cup in her hand. And she entices them to get into drugs, which is far worse than alcohol. Methamphetamine. She entices them to get into bed with her. She entices the youth of our nation to follow after her ways. And what comes out of her mouth is, jump down in here, and I'll give you everything you want. And when you're in there, her ways are the ways of hell. Amen? Stay away from her, guys. Young ladies, stay away from her. Psalm 143. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. You know what God said He'll do in Psalm 91 when you make Him your shelter? What He said He will do? Cover you with His wings. And when those wings flap, what do they sound like? You know what you're hiding in? Watch this. The devil can't see me now. Amen! He can't see me now. I've got the Word of God covering me and shielding me. He can't get to me. Amen. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I guarantee you, God will get his sword out, and he'll take his rod, and he'll start beating your enemies, and he'll start slashing them through, and they'll be gone. Amen. They'll wish they had never went after you. You are a son and a child of God. And listen, I love everybody. You come after one of my kids, I'll tear you to pieces. That's my kids. Right? Am I right in doing that? You better believe I am. So is God. You're His child. When those things come after you, God will get them. God will get them. There's a man walking around Festus, Missouri right now. Oxygen tubes up his nose. He's an old man. I pointed him out to Lisa the other day. He was my middle school principal over here at Festus Middle School. And a kid came up to me on the playground and he punched me right in the face. And I knew who it was. And I was told, I'm going to go. I went to the principal. And I said, Mr., I won't tell his name. He's just an old man walking around now. He's still alive. I went to him. I said, Mr. Principal, so-and-so came up to me and punched me right in the face on the playground. He said, I'll get him. And I said, okay. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. I asked the kid that punched me, in the next grade, you remember hitting me on? Yeah. Did you ever get in trouble for that? No. Didn't get in trouble for it. So he used to mix paint over here at Walmart, and I saw him. I went up to him. I said, "You probably don't remember me." I said, "But in 1970, whatever year that was, I said I came to you, and I said, you said you would get him." He said, "I got him, didn't I?" I said, "No, sir, you didn't. I'm still waiting on it. I'm still waiting on you to get that kid to hit me in the nose." Oh, he changed his tune. I see him in town every now and then. I'm just going, I'm still waiting. You're still alive. You can go get him if you want. Listen, God will get him. Amen. 1 Peter, and I'm done with this. Look at this. Roy, I'm going to tell you how you got here tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Roy, do you think when you get to heaven you'll want a bottle? No. You'll be drinking new wine at the table of the Lord with Jesus. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you who are kept by the power of God. Period. That's how come you made it here tonight, Roy. It was the power of God and nothing else. Now, I keep pointing at Roy, but I could be pointing at anybody in this room and pointing at that camera and point right back at me. I'm not Mr. Tough Guy. I am only here by the power and grace of God. Through faith. See, you got to trust Him. Through faith. Okay? Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He came to me, had a heavy heart on him. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you guys, it'll be worth it. If Hillary Clinton gets to be president of the United States and she steals this whole country away from us, I'll just go to heaven. Amen. If she has us all rounded up and arrested for being extremists, I'll just go to heaven. I'll lose everything. I'll just go to heaven. Amen? It'll be worth it. You're going to lose this whole place anyway. Okay, I'd rather be later than sooner. I got kids and grandkids. But if not, I know where I'm going. And I know who's going to get me there, and it ain't me. Romans 14, he said he read Romans 14 today. For whether we live of the Lord. Whether we die of the Lord. Whether we live to die, it's of the Lord. Okay, let's stand to our feet.